Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a privilege, what a joy it is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. Now, there are lots of things that are happening. This is a season in this country of thanksgiving. We're going around saying, I'm thankful, and therefore we're meeting with our families, and we're having great feasts of turkey and so on, and we're remembering to be thankful. And then quickly on the heels of this celebration comes a month later when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he was born the Savior of the world. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And how precious, precious, precious that is. Now, I don't know what your situation is, but sometimes we get caught up in thinking that Thanksgiving is of more value than Christmas. And I would like to draw some contrasts just for a moment between the two. For instance, we say, well, we're thankful that the English came to Plymouth Rock and landed, and eventually working with Indians and so on, they eventually had a great time of celebration, and then President Lincoln made it a public holiday, and we called it Thanksgiving. So we go to the history books, and we look at all these things, and we say, isn't it wonderful? We have Thanksgiving. God has been very gracious to us. Now, I would like to put some things in a different perspective with you for a moment or two. The Lord Jesus was praying for his disciples, and he said, Lord, I want them to share the glory that I have. That's the same glory that I had with you in heaven. And I want these men on this earth to share my glory. Now, this is before he was crucified. It was in the days just before his crucifixion. He prays for his disciples. And in that prayer, he says, I thank you that you have given them to me. I thank you, you have heard my prayer. Now, most of our prayers that we seem to pray is gimme, 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 gimme. Most of the prayers that we seem to say in our private devotions are help me, show me, keep me, I am important, look after me. And we don't get to the point where, as Jesus was praying, thank you for blessing them and thank you for hearing my prayer. There's a great deal of thanks that is not registered, not recorded, and we don't record it. Sometimes I try to remember in my prayers to say, Lord, would you please record in heaven that I have thanked you for this, that I am grateful for that. I want God to realize that I don't always remember, but I am grateful, and I want a record of it. Somehow I would like the recipient of my prayers to know that I am extraordinarily grateful for his goodness and his kindness to me. Now, this all swings around, and we come to a place where God is love. If you've got a Bible, you might just turn to 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 16. In the midst of what he's saying here in verse 16, he says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, we have some terrifying things that take place, and we do not thank God, for we think somehow that God is not in this or not in that. But he is in all things. He knows our down-sitting, he knows our uprising, and he knows when we are turning to the left and turning to the right instead of going on with him. He knows when we've been defeated by Satan. He knows when sin that doth so easily beset us overwhelms us. He understands all that. And the psalmist sums it up by saying, he knoweth that we are dust. Jesus said this, knowing that we are dust, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The word forsake used the word divorce. I will never separate from you. Now, if the Lord Jesus said that, knowing who we were, knowing what we are, and understanding what we shall be, the Lord Jesus is so remarkable that he says, I will not leave you, so you can be confident in this one thing. Do you ever thank him for that? Do I? Do any of us? We have our problems and we say, oh, yes, but. If we can think for a moment and not use that silly word, but, we can live on with Jesus safely trusting and safely being kept by his love. God is love. This 16th verse of John 4 tells us this. God is love. Now, for the person that thinks that retribution is breathing fire down the nostrils of God, who think that the tongue of God is so fiercely demonstrated in retribution, I would say to those dear people, think again. He says, if you will repent, if you will come to me like a child comes to a parent, and if you will snuggle into my lap and snuggle up to my heart and look at me and say, forgive me. I am plagued with the thoughts that are around part of what we call today the Lord's Prayer. We know it's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. What I want to say to you is this. In the Lord's Prayer, we say that we ask God to deliver us from evil and to forgive us our trespasses. Some use the word debts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Now, hold on just for a moment. That word as is the thought pattern behind its translation is in the same manner that. So it would read, if we were to read it in its original, forgive us our trespasses in the same manner that we forgive those that trespass against us. Do you feel as if you've been rejected, trespassed against? Someone has come into the garden of your heart or the garden of your mind and just ravished it, torn it up, made you feel wretched. Said wrong things, made up stories about you, told lies. Jesus said the cares of this world will choke you. Jesus said these cares can be so overwhelming that they're like thistles and thorns. He calls them tares, T-A-R-E-S, tares that grow up with the good seed. And the disciples said, shouldn't we go in and tear those tares out? And Jesus said, no, I'll do that job. You get on with living for me and don't worry about those things. There will be a day when the angels in heaven will gather the wheat, and amongst the wheat will be the tares, and the angels will separate the tares and the wheat. Don't you do it. Now, I know I'm treading on a few corns and toenails here, because we like to think that church discipline takes precedence over what Jesus said. But Jesus, when it comes to things of judgmentality, he says this to the woman that was taken in adultery, taken in the very act, accused in front of him. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and stop this sinning. Sin no more. Jesus said, neither do I judge you. And he goes on to say, but if I did judge you, my judgment would be true, but I don't judge you. And again, the word of God teaches us, judge not that ye be not judged. And I hear so many people saying things that are so judgmental. I've asked some people, fairly recently actually, where do you see the God of love fitting in this conversation? And they're stunned to think that I could think of the love of God in the midst of their conversation, which was full of accusations against a third person. Where is the love of God in this? And I don't believe it is there. The Apostle Paul says that gossip is one of the worst things that we will come across. And people build all sorts of construction around things that don't exist. It's a curious thing how we have all kinds of thoughts. And we think we're right, but we're judgmental. And in that judgmentality attitude, we find ourselves not expressing the love of God at all. Now let's understand. We love God. How do we love God? We love God because he first loved us. Well, How did he get to first love us? How did he show that? He sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for people like you and I, and he called us to himself and made us his sons and daughters, and he called us into his presence. And the glorious thing is that once I'm in the presence of God the Father, because I've been born again through the sacrifice and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have newness of life. So here is my thankfulness. I am alive. Thank you, Lord, for this day. It may be a moldy day. It may be a rainy day. It could be a day that I don't really want to get into any business. But I want to know, and I want others to know, that this is a day that God has given to me, and I am grateful for that day. You see, we experience tears at our emotions, and we respond with heartache. Yesterday, I received a telephone call that a dear friend of mine, who was only 62, suddenly died, and I must confess that there were tears in my eyes and tears in my heart, and I felt as if I was ripped open for that few moments of hearing the news. And my emotions were all jungled together and all flipping, flopping around. And I was angry, I was quiet, I was anxious, I was trusting, and all sorts of things were going on in my mind that I couldn't ordinarily calculate, and I have to think hard to even start to remember them. When there's loss, there is pain. When there's suffering that backs us to the place where we cry for help, we can always seek the face of Jesus. Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, he is strong. Oh, what a precious Lord Jesus he is. His loves are revealed in kindness, in long-suffering, in mercy. Why is God concerned with you and I? Because he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would be believing in him would never perish but have everlasting life. For God sent, listen to this, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God so loved this world. You're in this world, and he loves you. But I ought to be judged because of my sin, you might cry. Yes, you should have been judged because of your sin. But Jesus took all that judgment at Calvary. And if you're trusting him, you're free. There's mercy in God. You're free from the accusations of men and women. You're free from the accusations of the gossips. You're free from the theologically correct. The scribes and the Pharisees were theologically correct. According to the writings of Scripture, according to the understanding of their minds, according to their schooling, according to all that they had learned, they were right. But they were hopelessly wrong. On another occasion, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. Now, that's a very simple statement. Do I have to wait until I see the answer to my prayer to say thank you for answering it? I think I need to be able to say, before I see the answer, before I understand what God has done, I think I need to be able to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, thanksgiving isn't just because this is a free country. By the way, it's losing a lot of its freedom every day, it seems. But it's not because we live in a free country. Our politicians are so crooked and so wrong and enormous storytellers. We have lost our trust, for the most part, in the governments of our country. We need to understand that God never changes. He is love. And if you want to find out anything about love, you have to go to him. The young man that coos upon the shoulder of his dear little girlfriend and says, I love you, knows nothing of love. He has plenty of ideas about sexuality, but he's not really understanding love. Until that young man and that young woman love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts and with all their minds and all their strength, they don't know much about love. You see, they know much about each other, but they don't know much about Jesus. When we love the Lord Jesus, we discover these things to be absolutely eternal, because the love of God is filled with kindness. The love of God is filled with mercy. The love of God has a massive chunk of long-suffering. And if this were taught correctly in our churches, it would stop people saying, I'm fed up with this marriage, I'm going to get divorced. Because you can get through the barriers that you've discovered in marriage when there is on your part and your partner's part long-suffering, when you will show each other mercy, when you will forgive as you have been forgiven. One of the great things about forgiveness is that God says, your sins I will remember no more. He takes them out of his memory bank, and he says he casts them behind his back. Psalm says that he casts our sins into the depth of the sea. That's a place where there is no return. They can't come back and bite us. God has cast them away. Now, your memory bank isn't that good. You can't just chop a piece off and throw it away. God can, because the things that are not possible with man are possible with God. And we, you and I, need to remember how he has dealt with sin. And he says, your sins I remember no more. They're done with. They're dealt with. That's his forgiveness. Now, you know, this Thanksgiving and this coming Christmas, families will be getting together and there'll be an aunt or an uncle, there'll be a cousin or a brother or a sister, somebody who, last year, I got a crummy gift from you and so you didn't get a good gift from me this year. That attitude, very wrong, very wrong. Let me tell you another attitude that is so absolutely incorrect. Here it is. Christmas is for the children. You think so? Why, you tell the story of Alice in Wonderland. That's for children. You tell the story of Wind in the Willows. That's for children. The story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for children only. We've got some things wrong. I will challenge you to think differently. God did not say through Jesus, God so loved the children. He said, God so loved the world full of people. God so loved all those that were resident upon this earth, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever was believing in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice, such love reveals the everlasting arms that are underneath and all around. Underneath to hold us up, all around to cuddle us close. I love to think of this sometimes, especially when I feel very alone, especially if I am hurting and my pains are getting the better of me. I love to remember that Jesus has said that there are everlasting arms, and they are all around, and they're underneath. I'm held in the embrace of God. Because I'm held in this wonderful embrace, I have only to cry for help. I have only to lift my heart to the Lord Jesus and cry out. Sometimes in prayer, I think maybe some of you at least have discovered this, you don't have any vocabulary. There's nothing to say. Your emotions and your situation is such that you can't really talk about it. You're overwhelmed with all the circumstances of your life. At such a time, all we can say is, says the psalmist, is, oh, oh God. That's all we can say, all we can do. Recently, I was in a position where I wanted to talk with the Lord. And I said, will you excuse me, please? Can I talk to you as my brother? Can I talk to you as my older brother? And my prayers took on a whole new meaning. And for a little while, I had a different attitude of prayer. And I was able to express myself in a different way. And I felt, in a spiritual sense, those everlasting arms hugging me closer and keeping me more sheltered. And I recommend such a thing to all of you, that you might learn to pray. There are times when we don't know how to pray. There are times when we don't know what to say. A husband has just died, or a wife has just died. What do we say? It's, oh, God, help me. We're pleased for them to go to heaven, but we're left alone, alone. No, no, dear friend, never alone. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus will always be your constant friend. Jesus will love you and hold you till your time of end comes on this earth. So the everlasting arms are there. You see, suffering is a short time, really. Some people suffer for many years. But that's our calculation, not in heaven. Why, 1,000 years in his sight are but an evening gone. The word of God tells us this. And we need to understand that God's recognition of time is not ours. So if you are suffering with pain, literally, in your body, I would say to you the suffering is not to be compared with what will happen after you leave this world and go into the presence of the Lord Jesus. I will share with you two things. First is the now. Now you may have peace with God. Now you may have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that never fades away, but keeps you forever in his arms. That brings peace. That brings peace. The second thing I would say to you is that this peace is eternal, because Jesus said, I will never leave, and I want to translate that word leave into a better word or a different word. I will never desert you. There are times when we feel deserted by people all around us. There are times when we feel rejected by everyone we thought would never reject us. They never had to say, I'll never reject you, but we just knew they would never reject us. But somehow we feel terribly, terribly, terribly rejected. This eternal peace of God that comes from the love of God is this. It's eternal. You see, nobody else could offer you that. I can only offer my wife my life. She can only offer to me her life. And we've been married for many years. That's all we have to offer each other. The day will come when one of us will go into heaven and that commitment will be over and we will have no more commitment to each other. She will be in the arms of the Lord Jesus in heaven and I shall be still traveling on here or vice versa. You see, but Jesus is the constant companion. He never leaves us. He never deserts us. And he will never desert us to Satan. One of the figurative things that today we sort of battle with is that we find ourselves grappling with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot leave us, cannot desert us, and yet we feel deserted sometimes. So we grapple with that, we fight with it. And we look around and we look for children to comfort us. We look for parents to comfort us. We look for spouses to comfort us. And when Jesus looked for some to comfort him, there were none. They had all forsaken him and fled. And all these dear people in our families, they all have their own agendas going their own way in their own time. Be careful. Be careful. Turn to the Lord Jesus for your comfort. Turn to the Lord Jesus for the love. Turn to the Lord Jesus for peace with God. God is love. And I want to emphasize that to you because I want you to understand. At this time of year when we celebrate these various celebrations, we can be thankful that the love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. It reaches from the highest star into the lowest hell. So whatever your experience is at this moment, the love of God can reach through it all into your soul and grasp your soul and change the ingredients within it. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, multiplied for you and me. Well, let's just pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the preciousness of this word, and as it floats out over the airwaves, bless it to people wherever they hear. Let them take it to their hearts. Let them be reminded of your great, enormous, colossal, and overwhelming love. Please, Lord, bless every person that hears these words. For we ask it so that Jesus may be amplified, glorified in the lives of men and women. In his name, amen. Hey, thank you for listening. God bless you.